Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Okay, the question is, where do we strike a balance between mercy and justice, or is justice something that we just don't worry about at all? Justice is mainly a concern that we have to carry out when God has placed us in a position of authority. So there are times when you need to mete out justice for on your children. If you're in power in the government, you should punish criminals and not let them go free. And so justice is a matter to be carried out by authorities. But in personal relationships, it calls for mercy. So Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Now, where did they hear that? Well, they heard it from the Old Testament. And some people said, well, God must be overturning the Old Testament. Old Testament says eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Jesus said, you heard that, but I tell you this. Turn the other cheek. Well, he's not overturning the Old Testament. He's just showing them that they took something that applied to the government, and they were trying to apply it in personal relationships. And they were saying, in personal relationships, someone takes out your eye, take out their eye, you know? And Jesus said, no. That's for the government to do. That command was for the government. The punishment should fit the crime. And it was actually a command that had to do with mercy, because in Moses' day, when that was given, most laws were much more severe. If you take out someone's eye, you get put to death, you know, so they could keep control on crime. And God said, no, not in Israel. In Israel, punishment's going to fit the crime. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Don't make punishment too big. So even that was merciful, but that's for the government. In personal relationships, you don't mete out justice, you show mercy. And so Jesus says, in a personal relationship, someone slaps you on your one cheek, you just turn the other cheek. That's a really important question, because there's so many people who think that it's their role to mete out justice, especially in the church. You see this a lot. Somebody sins, it's some kind of scandalous sin, we got to punish them, we got to teach them a lesson, we got to make sure they learn their lesson, we got to put them through the ringer. No, you don't. You just got to show them mercy. If they repented, you just show them love and forgiveness and restoration and mercy. And if you're worried that they're not going to learn their lesson, you're worried that they're going to get off scot-free with this whole thing without having sufficient consequences, God can handle that. He wants there to be consequences. He can mete out all the consequences he wants. That's for him. My children, it's not their role to punish each other when they disobey me. You know, a sibling disobeys me, the other one comes up with some kind of punishment. No, that's not their role. Okay, yeah, what if they just keep doing the same thing? That's why we always want to punish, is to teach them a lesson, right? Especially, you know, somebody close to you, somebody in your family, your spouse. How's my husband ever going to learn if I don't give him the silent treatment when he does that? He'll never learn. He'll keep doing it. That's where we apply the hard teachings of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. And we show mercy, and we let God teach them the lessons that they need to learn. He can teach them those lessons. If we want to teach them a lesson, we teach them through Scripture, not through punishment. They keep doing it over and over again. Suppose they sin against you and they say, I repent, you forgive them. What if the same day they do it again and say, I repent? Well, you just forgive them again. What if they do it again, same day? Third time, do it again. Jesus said, 7 times in one day they do that and say, I repent, you forgive them. Now, 7 times in one day is a lot. Somebody comes up to me and, you know, even if it's a small offense, they step on my toe. Oh, sorry, Daryl. That's right. I forgive you. Again, a few minutes later, stepping on my toe again. Sorry. That's all right. I forgive you. Third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, 7th time in one day. You know, I'm like, all right, I forgive you, but watch where your step. You know. So, I mean, you can. Jesus is making that illustration to point exactly to that circumstance when it's just again and again and again. You just keep forgiving. Just keep forgiving. Right. Okay, everybody has failed to show mercy at some point. And so, in what sense? You know, James says, judgment without mercy will be shown to those who have not been merciful. That's a staggering statement. Judgment without mercy. I mean, God just pouring it on, no mercy. And so the question is that talking about ultimate judgment, or is that talking about the temporal relative? I think it refers to both. If you are unrepentant in your lack of mercy, then you will receive judgment without mercy on judgment day and you'll go to hell. You're not saved. Ongoing unrepentant sin is a mark of an unbeliever. What if you're repentant? You just keep stumbling into that same sin, but you keep repenting. You're always turning to Christ as after that and seeking His forgiveness. Then ultimately you have forgiveness. But in a temporal sense, you might still suffer some lesser degree of mercy from God. And even on Judgment Day, Jesus talked about some servants receiving many lashes and fewer lashes. And so there seems to be some consequence even on Judgment Day for believers having to give an account for sins. Ultimately, we're saved, but still there's some consequence on Judgment Day. Bernadette? It seems like you can't do it, but you actually can't. And I know Jesus knew how hard it would be. He knew how hard this would sound. And so when he gave this parable, if you look in the NIV in Matthew 18, about the two servants, and one was forgiven a huge debt, and the other one was forgiven a tiny little debt in comparison. And in the footnotes, it says the second debt was just a few dollars. It's two drachmas. And I've heard many times people preach that, and they say the second servant, he had this tiny little debt, a couple of bucks. And the guy's choking him and throwing him into prison over a couple of bucks. And you need to forgive these little tiny things because God forgave you a lot. That is not what Jesus said. He picked the numbers in this parable purposely. And the numbers that he picked are large numbers. The small debt that we must forgive after we've been forgiven the huge debt from God, the small debt, it's not a couple of dollars. It is, in our day, $10,000 to $20,000. Now, if you come across somebody who owes you $20,000, and will not pay it back, that's a significant debt. By picking that number, Jesus is saying, look, in your situation, the people that have hurt you, the people who have sinned against you, harmed you, been evil to you, what they've done is huge. It's a huge debt. Jesus says, I'm not minimizing it. I'm maximizing it. What's been done to you is wicked. It's awful. They owe you a lot. It's a big, big debt. And normally, it's reasonable. If the guy owes you $20,000, he won't pay you back. It's reasonable to take legal action against him. Normally, that wouldn't surprise anybody at all. The only reason it's shocking in this parable to the other servants who go back to the king, the only thing that makes it shocking is the fact that the guy had just been forgiven such an astronomical debt in comparison. And that's what he forgot. That's why he couldn't forgive. When we can't forgive, when the offense against me is so huge, so heinous, I just cannot forgive it. I feel like I cannot forgive it. I always need to go back to Matthew 18 and spend time thinking about how much I've been forgiven. The only way I can ever say to a person, I can't forgive you, is if I've forgotten how much I've been forgiven. Because the debt I've been forgiven is way bigger, even than the horrific thing they've done. And so that's why Matthew 18 is so precious to us, because when it seems like we can't forgive, we can forgive if we understand how much we've been forgiven. That's what will enable us. And I know it's hard because it seems like you're saying everything's hunky-dory, everything's fine. I forgive you, it's okay. When you say I forgive you to someone, you're not saying it's okay. That's not what you're saying. What you're saying is, it's not okay, that's why it requires forgiveness. If it were okay, it wouldn't require any forgiveness. So when someone says to you, comes up to you, I'm so sorry, what do you always say? Oh, it's okay. We've come up with this whole system of, I'm sorry, it's okay. That's the wrong exchange. We shouldn't say, I'm sorry, it's okay. We should say, please forgive me. And I do forgive you. That's a whole different thing, isn't it? You say, yes, please forgive me. There's a lot of people who really struggle to say that. There's a lot of husbands and wives. They'll tell each other they're sorry till they're blue in the face, but they'll never say, will you forgive me? I've counseled couples. I say, why don't you go ahead and ask, you know, do you want her to forgive you? Yeah, I do. Well, why don't you go ahead and ask? And then he starts to say it, and they're like, well, can't get it out of his mouth. Will you? Well, I mean, what I did wasn't really that bad. I mean, forgive me? That's like saying what I did was really bad. Yeah, that's what it's like saying. We have trouble, you know, getting that out of our mouths, but we say, will you forgive me? That's better than I'm sorry. I'm sorry just might mean, I just wish we weren't in this fight right now, or I wish I weren't caught, or I wish this whole thing would just go blow over. will you forgive me means I sinned against you and I need you to just cancel my debt because I can't even pay it. Please forgive me. And forgiveness is when you cancel that debt. And it's a supernatural act that requires grace from God. Boy, I could go on and on about that, but I'm glad you asked the question, Bernadette, because it's so important that we fix our thoughts on the degree to which we've been forgiven. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Even the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Okay, great question. And we're way over time here, so I can't say much here, but I'll just quickly say this. What if they don't ask forgiveness? What if they're not repentant? If they're not repentant, I don't think Scripture necessarily calls us to forgive. Forgiveness is total reconciliation of the relationship. That's forgiveness. And you can't have that when they're still unrepentant. So the virtue that Scripture calls for when their person is still unrepentant isn't so much forgiveness as much as patience. Patience. Love is patience. And it'll be patient with them while God's working on their heart to bring them to repentance. But you can't have total forgiveness without that. Great question.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.